Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we are going to jump in this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to take pause this morning. Lord, I would just ask that you would be present. Lord, that you would go before this message. Lord, that you have ordained it. Lord, you have guided every word that I have written down. And Lord, as they come out of my mouth, Lord, would you just bless them as they touch the ears and the hearts of the people here today. Lord, I pray for an encounter. Lord, I don't come here just to do busy work. I don't come here to just be present. But Lord, we come here to experience more of you, to draw closer to you, to be encouraged by you. And Lord, it takes an anticipation on our part for that to happen. And so Lord, I just pray right now that every heart in here is full of anticipation of what you're going to say. And Father, would you just have your way? Lord, we are open to whatever you want to do in this service. And Father, I'm willing to step out of the way and step to the side to allow that to happen. So Lord, would you just be present? In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you have ever thought what would happen if you truly tapped into the supernatural power of God. We read in Scripture, we see all the miraculous things that have taken place. We see that the disciples prayed and demons left people and just powerful things were happening. What if we tapped into that same supernatural power? What if we had more of His presence and we experienced more of Him more than we ever have before? Would that not be the coolest thing that could possibly happen? Jesus is more than the guy who died on the cross and rose again. He is your best friend, He is your Savior, and He is your counselor, wonderful counselor. So how cool would it be to experience Him more, leaving this service today, than what you experienced Him prior before coming in? Would that not be pretty cool? Are you guys awake this morning? How would that not be cool? Right? It would be. So, and here's the thing. What we're talking about, obviously it says when we fast, drawing closer to God. And is what happens is this supernatural power, His presence, comes more into our life when we are align ourselves with God. We have to be aligned with God for more of that to happen. Listen, if we have active sin in our life, unrepentant sin, we cannot expect that to take place in our life. Okay? So we have to align ourselves with God. How do we align ourselves with God? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is through prayer. It is by repentance. It is through fasting. We are doing a fasting series. You better believe we're talking about fasting today. It is through obedience. And then it is also just creating room for His Spirit to move in your life. If we are so busy, if we are so scripted, if we are so directed in everything we do, do we leave room for the Holy Spirit to work in our life? Or is it easy to not hear what He's telling us to do, leading us to do, and now all of a sudden we're clear over here, and now the Lord's finding somebody else to do what He's asked us to do because we were too busy to take time to hear Him. So we have to give room. I thought that was pretty good. Listen, church, this is exactly what we're doing. We are making room for the Spirit of God to work in each one of our lives. Going through when we fast, drawing closer to God, by going through this series, what have we done the first 2 weeks? First, we learned what is fasting. We learned what fasting is and the types of fasting. Last week, we learned why we fast. Why do we go through a fast? Why do we do this? Why does the Bible tell us to? All while, and I hope, who all fasted this week? Show of hands. Praise the Lord. So all while we are going through a fast together as a corporate body. So not only are we learning about it, we're exploring. I need a Kleenex, please. There's none up here. Today we go through. Hey, look at that. Rockstar, thank you. Everybody, round of applause for Kaylee. Avoided a disaster. So what we're doing. Listen, sometimes you just got to go with the flow, and it's not always the way you want it to go. So as we learn together, we're opening ourselves up for more of God. I hope and I pray that as we're going through fasting, it's not just because pastor asked you to. It's not because your spouse has pressured you into doing it. Because I'm doing it, you should do it. Right? But instead, it's because my desire is for more of God in my life. I want to make more room for Him. And if that means that I have to sacrifice some meals, and if that means during those meals I'm taking time and I'm opening Scripture, I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm singing, I'm worshiping Him, if that's what it takes to draw closer to God, is that not worth every second of that fast? Come on. Let's make room for God in our life. And so for those of you that are fasting, praise the Lord. I hope and I pray that the Lord is speaking to you. I pray that He is revealing things. And listen, if you're not having just these profound dreams or finding things in Scripture that you've never seen before or hearing His voice through the Holy Spirit speaking to you, I pray at minimum your heart's drawing closer to Him. I pray that you are opening the door and saying, Lord, more of you. Come, Lord Jesus. Listen, I'm an imperfect man. Anybody else? Come on. We need more of Jesus. And so I pray and I hope that that is your attitude as we go forward with this. And so, and further, what we're doing here is not just to check off another box. We're not just checking that, oh, Doug, we did our fast this week. Now I get to eat like crazy tomorrow. No, it's saying, Lord, you are my sustenance. I don't need food. I need more of you. I need more of your presence in my life. I need your Holy Spirit to work on this thing that my heart is struggling with. I need freedom in this area. Lord, I don't need any of the food. As long as I have you, I have all that I need. Now, isn't that so counterculture to what we're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to have 2 eggs and sourdough toast for breakfast every morning? Come on, that's what I had this morning. We're supposed to have lunch. We're supposed to have 2 snacks, 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Does anyone else's parents dictate when you got to have a snack? My house was so strict, 10 a.m. was when you had a snack. 3 p.m. is when you had a snack. If you don't have your snack by 3:30, guess what? You didn't have a snack. So, lunch, or breakfast, lunch, supper, and snacks. That's you ate 5 meals a day. Sometimes snack times turned into meals. And dessert. Matthew says, don't forget dessert. See, this is why we keep kids in here, because he's listening. So what we're doing here is developing a discipline that's not just for now, but it's a discipline that will serve us well for the rest of our life. Guess what? When the Lord speaks to you through the fast, all of a sudden fasting doesn't become burdensome. Rather, it's a pursuit for more of Him, and it becomes much easier to do. If I encounter the Lord during my fast, and that's the best moments that I've had in my life, and I am certain without a shadow of a doubt that He spoke to me, that He showed me, that He revealed to me, why would I not want to do it again to draw even closer to Him? So church, listen, I've barely touched my notes so far. I hope that you are anticipating something great happening over the next 3 weeks, because this is a 5-week series. So yes, you are going to hear fasting 2 more weeks after today. But I pray and I hope that the Holy Spirit today would implore you to start fasting. If you haven't yet, I pray that you change your mind today. I pray that when you leave here, you are saying, more room for you, less for me, more for you. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you open them to Isaiah chapter 58? Isaiah chapter 58. And I hope you brought your Bible with you. If not, find somebody that you can share with. Otherwise, you can look at the screen that we'll have here in just a second. Isaiah 58 and then verses 6 through 9. 58, 6 through 9. And as we turn to Isaiah 58 this morning, I want to give you time to get there. Let me set the scene for you. I want you to know what's happening here in Isaiah. This chapter of Isaiah was written during a time when God's people were outwardly religious, but had lost the heart of true worship. Let's pause. I hope and I pray that is not describing our body today. Let me repeat that. The people were outwardly religious, but they had lost the heart of true worship. Far be it from us that we have lost the heart of worship today. They were fasting, but their lives didn't reflect justice. Their lives didn't reflect mercy. Their lives didn't reflect love for others. And so through the prophet Isaiah, God called them to shift their focus from empty rituals, fasting without a purpose or without food, or what? Fasting without prayer is what? A diet. Fasting without prayer is simply dieting. It's a ritual. It's just something to do, something to mark off. Maybe like coming to church. We just mark it off of our to-do list today. I hope and I pray that this is the most exciting thing that you get to come and do every week. Because we get to encounter the Lord together, corporately, as a body of believers. Now, that doesn't mean we can't encounter God in our car on the way to work, while we're in the shower, I don't care, mowing the yard, scooping snow. We have had barely any snow to scoop, and I am so thankful for that. It doesn't have to snow the rest of the winter, and I'll be just fine. But God called them to shift their focus from these empty rituals of to a life that is full of compassion and full of obedience. What we're going to see today through this passage is it's going to challenge us to see that fasting is not just giving something up. We are not just giving up food. We are not just giving up social media. We're not just giving up this, that, or the other. But instead, it's taking up God's mission to break the chains of injustice, to care for the needy, and most importantly, it is to align our hearts with Him. Church, I hope that our desire here today is for our hearts to be more aligned with God's. Less of me, more of Him. So this morning, as we go through this scripture, it reveals four very powerful benefits, promises that the Lord gives. And so we're going to go through those together. We're going to discover this together. And we're going to leave here empowered together. Are we okay with that? All right, let's get to our scripture here. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 9. This is the Lord speaking through Isaiah. The Lord says this, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness." See, what we're seeing here today is Isaiah is telling us that fasting is not enough. The act of fasting is worthless if it is not to draw closer to God and not to align our hearts with Him. So the point of our fasting is, and through the fast, right, we can be fasting and we can desire this, but what if we don't worry about justice? What if we don't worry about giving mercy to our neighbors? Maybe it's giving mercy to our spouse. Come on, right? If we're imperfect people, guess what happens when you put two imperfect people together? Imperfect things happen. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, "Hey, I'm perfect in my marriage," don't say it out loud. Your spouse will disagree with you, probably a little bit. Because we're all imperfect people, aren't we? Every single one of us. So fasting should be a way for us today to transform our souls and to align our priorities with God's will. Now, we're going to go through four promises, four benefits that God attaches in this passage to true fasting. So if you've got a pen, you want to write this down, go ahead. This is good stuff. The first benefit of a biblical fast, are you ready? Fasting breaks spiritual strongholds. Fasting breaks spiritual strongholds. Isaiah 58, verse 6, describes fasting that looses the chains of injustice and breaks the yokes of oppression. See, fasting invites the Holy Spirit to come in and to break chains that, guess what, we can't break on our own. Know that there are chains that you can't break on your own, that you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do. When we take time to fast, we pray, we are engaging, listen, in spiritual warfare. When we fast and we pray, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. We aren't fighting with physical tools, but we are relying on the Spirit's power to break chains, to set captives free, to destroy strongholds and to do what only God can do. And we can overcome only what God works for us to overcome. So God will destroy those strongholds. He overcomes those strongholds. And I don't want you to raise your hand, because I don't want anybody to pass judgment on anybody that they see raise their hand. But do you have strongholds that need broken in your life? Do you have something going on in your life that is a stronghold, something that you cannot get rid of or you can't overcome? Listen, this week I encourage you to fast about it. Take whatever you just thought and put it to a fast. Lord, I give this to you. I need victory in this area, or I need a reprieve in this area. I need your help. Give it to Him and put it to a fast. You can put it to personal items, so maybe it's something that you're dealing with. But what if it's a family member? Guess what? You can also fast family strongholds that need to be broken. Maybe you struggle with an addiction that needs to be dealt with. This week, as you start your fast, begin it by inviting the Holy Spirit into your struggle. Invite the Holy Spirit room to work in your struggle. And as you seek Him daily, He will equip you with the spiritual strength needed to resist temptation and to walk in freedom away from that stronghold. Remember, it's not by might or power, but by the Spirit. It is by His Spirit. Or maybe you have a family member, a child, a spouse, a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad that has gone wayward. Call him the prodigal. Everybody understands who the prodigal is, right? The prodigal son. Maybe you have a prodigal in your family. Guess what you can do as a family this week? You've already guessed it. You can fast. You can fast for that family member. You can fast for that child or that spouse. You can take time as a family to fast for that person. That we fast that God would touch their hearts and that they would return to the faith. Don't we know that that's the most important thing that can ever happen? Sure, it's nice to get rid of addictions and drugs and the things that have taken them away. But what if they came to the Lord first and then the Holy Spirit just took care of everything else they were struggling with? Let's get the sick to the Lord and let's let Him be the doctor in their life. Come on. So let's put our family members to a fast this week. It's through fasting that our faith grows. It is through fasting that God works to soften the heart of the prodigal. And listen, fasting is a powerful tool when it's wielded correctly. Fasting without prayer is dieting. I don't want to be a bunch of dieters. I want to be spiritual warriors. The second benefit from fasting deepens our relationship with God. Fasting deepens our relationship with God. Our main scripture, Isaiah 58, verse 6 plus verse 7, it shows us that fasting is not just about abstaining from food, right? A lot of us focus on, well, I can't have food, or it's not been this many hours, or I this, that, or the other, or I'm tempted, or I feel lethargic and I need food, or I this and that. It's not just about abstaining from food, but it's about engaging in a heart posture that seeks God and aligns our heart with His character. This is what we see from David. You can write this down if you want. Psalms chapter 69, verse 10. David says this, and this isn't in great context, but you'll get the picture here. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. What this means, David's fasting was not a ritual. It wasn't just something, and listen, it can become a ritual for us because I've challenged you to do it one day a week for the next 5 weeks. It can just become a habit. It can just be, well, we're fasting on Monday, we're fasting on Thursday, whatever it is. Don't let it be a ritual, but rather, like David, let it be a heartfelt cry to deepen your connection with God. Who doesn't want more of Jesus in their life? Rhetorical question, right? Because every one of us want more of Jesus in our life. So when we fast, we silence the noise of the world. We allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into a more intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Here's what fasting does. Fasting creates intentional space for the Holy Spirit to work in us. Fasting creates intentional space for the Holy Spirit to work in us. It quiets the world's noise, and it helps us realign our hearts with God. It allows His voice to be heard more clear. It draws us into deeper intimacy with Him. This week, each and every one of us can be just like David. You can use your fasting time to cultivate an intimacy with God through prayer and worship that you can't without fasting. For your fast this week, take time that you would normally eat your meals and spend it in solitude with God. Sometimes it's easy to get away from family, sometimes it's not. Make time to get away and just have solitude with the Lord. Replace your meals with God. Journal your prayers. I'm not a great journaler. I know I need to. The other day, I don't even know where we were, but I was looking at journals. Because I need to start journaling again. And listen, when we journal, who knows, life gets hard. Sometimes we need to look back and see the mountaintops that the Lord took us to when we're stuck in the valleys that we're walking. And whose testimony is best for us? Our own. So if we have victory showing up in our life of things that God has delivered us from, why would we not want to look back on that and be encouraged on the things that the Lord has done in our life? So take time, journal your prayers, read the Bible. You could even open your Bible and read some Psalms this week. Read some Psalms during this time of fasting. And then just like David, we know David loved the Lord. Like David, you will feel God's presence more tangibly, and you will gain even more clarity in your walk with Him because we desire more of Him. And listen, maybe you're not doing a food fast. Maybe you've said, I need food. Maybe it's a medical reason. You've decided to do a non-food fast. So you're instead abstaining, meaning we're not taking part, we're not active in it, from social media or things that bring you pleasure. With that, I say put the game down. Put TikTok down. Guess what? If you have to reset your phone, like I did last night, because all of our iCloud stuff, our HomePods weren't working, and it's really frustrating when things don't work, so I got to figure it out. I reset my phone to try to get them to work. Well, do you know that TikTok's still not in the App Store, and so I'm having TikTok withdrawals? I send Tim TikToks, I send John TikToks. John's bought more tools from TikTok videos that I've sent him than he finds on his own and buys. It's a pain point. Guess what? God just removed TikTok from my life because it's not downloadable anymore. And so, that's an amen. I got to be done with TikTok. So, but put it away. And if you can't, listen, don't replace it with something else. If you're going to say, I'm done with TikTok, I'm done with Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or all these silly things that the kids are using today, I know that makes me sound ancient, but I am, okay? Don't replace it with something else. Because what are you doing? You're just shifting the focus from one thing to another worldly thing. Where is the focus on God happening in that? It's not. Thank you, Doug. It's not there. It's not present. It's not going to happen. So decide today, if you are on a non-food fast, if you're fasting social media, don't start playing a game. Don't start watching more Netflix. All you're doing is filling that time with something other than God. So what are we fasting for? Self-enrichment. Guess what? That doesn't work. Do not fill it with something other than God. So put the distractions away and replace that time with God. Replace that time with more of Him. Perhaps you can replace it with some worship music. And maybe you've never fasted before and you don't know what this is and you're just not sure you're ready to start. Guess what? Start with a non-food fast. Get rid of something that takes up too much time in your life and fill it with worship music. Be intentional about more worship. Be intentional about praying. Maybe it gets distracting when you sit and you start praying and then all of a sudden you see this, you see that, there's this. And then I start thinking about what was for supper last week and you're filling your mind with everything that is other than God. Maybe that's my cue to, I should go on a prayer walk. Maybe as I'm walking, I can start giving praise for the way it is outside, the beauty. I can pray over my neighbors as I walk. I can pray about more steps. Listen, the Lord just wants time with you. So abstain from the things that will take you away from Him and dive headfirst into more of Him. You will find if you do that, your mind becomes more clear as your connection with God grows deeper. So a closer, more intimate relationship with the Lord, here's what it does. It sets the table for what's next. This is our third point, and this is the point that I am probably the most excited. Are you ready? We'll see how excited everybody is. Fasting opens doors for revival and renewal. Isaiah 58, 8 through 9, it makes the benefits of true fasting evident. The passage promises that the light will break forth like the dawn, healing will quickly appear, and God's presence will go before His people. Do you know that these are signs of revival and renewal, both personally and in the community? As we fast, let's invite the Holy Spirit to spark a revival in and through us. So this week as you fast, as you put it to a fast, Lord, bring revival. Revive my heart. Revive my excitement for You. Revive, renew in me a steadfast spirit. Renew this in me. Bring my joy back. Or I bring revival to my family, to my church, to my community. As you fast, invite the Holy Spirit to bring revival and renewal in your life. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, I know that does not specifically mention fasting, but here's what 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It doesn't mention it, but it gives us a powerful blueprint for seeking God's presence. If we want revival to happen, we have to seek His presence. What is a revival? A revival is that the doors are open and people, the lost, the people who don't know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is gathering them, He is calling them, He is bringing them into our house, and they are coming to know the Lord Jesus because we want more of Him. Amen. Who would like to see a revival in New Sharon? Who would like to see their neighbors come to the Lord Jesus? Come on, right? So it gives us a blueprint. And here's the blueprint. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before Him. Pray. Because fasting without prayer is dieting. So we're not dieting. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to pray. We're going to seek His face. And here's the most important one. You ready? Turn from your sin. Turn from your sin. Fasting is a way that we can actively humble ourselves before God. Because we're submitting to Him. We're saying, Lord, it is You that gives sustenance, not me. So we humble ourselves before Him. Fasting also, it combined with prayer, it helps us to have an intense focus on Him. It helps us to tune out distractions, and it also helps us to align our hearts with His purposes. If you go to the Lord with a laundry to-do list, God's list of things to do in my life in 2025, let me just testify, you'll be greatly disappointed this year. But if I instead go to Him and say, Lord, I just want my heart to align with Your purpose for my life today, guess what? I won't be disappointed in 2025 because the Lord will align and He will honor that. So it's going to fasting with humility, fasting with repentance, it prepares the way for us to hear from God, to forgive others of sins, to ask for forgiveness of our sins, and then it brings healings to our lives and our community. If we want revival to take place in New Sharon, guess what has to happen first? We have to be spiritually healthy. Spiritually healthy means sin is no more. That doesn't mean that things don't happen. I'm not saying that. It means that our hearts are pure and desiring more Jesus every day, more than the things of this world that we can chase. Remember back to Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tested Him, tempted Him first with bread. Who doesn't want a slice of bread after 40 days of not eating? I can barely make it. Tim and I tried to do a 3-day fast. Stacy joined us. Guess who made that 3 days and guess who didn't? Stacy made it and Tim and I both bowed out on day 2. It's hard. You laugh, but you try it this week and you let me know how easy it was. Because it's not. So Satan tempted Jesus with bread. But Jesus rather would stay pure to the Lord than to give in to His desires. Let us be so focused on more of God that the things that come before us don't distract us. Every great revival in history, if you study this and look at it, from the days of Acts, when we see that the Holy Spirit was poured out on those in the upper room. Every revival from Acts to the modern day awakenings, the revivals that we see, here's how they've been birthed. They have been birthed by a united cry of fasting and prayer. Revivals begin with a humbled, surrendered heart before God. And fasting is one way that we prepare the soil for His Spirit to move. If we want to have a good harvest, what must we do in the spring? Prepare the soil. So listen, fasting is not to be seen as an inconvenience, but rather fasting is preparing us for the harvest that the Lord has for us in our church. When we humble ourselves in fasting, we prepare the way for the Holy Spirit to awaken hearts. We prepare the way for the Holy Spirit to stir repentance and to pour out His power. I ask you this morning, why not here in New Sharon? Why not now? Why can't we experience a revival? Here's the fourth and final benefit that I'll share with you today of what fasting does for us, the benefit. Fasting strengthens our faith and our trust in God. Isaiah 58 portrays fasting as an act of humility and reliance on God. So more reliance on Him. It reminds us that fasting is not about manipulating God, right? Here, God, here's my to-do list, the things you need to do in my life. But it's about aligning ourselves with His will, which naturally will strengthen our faith as we depend on Him for provision, for guidance, and for strength. Matthew 4:4. I jumped on this a little bit early, but Jesus says that the 40 nights or days and nights that He fasted, Jesus said, but He answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That was His response to Satan tempting Him. See, Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days, and He relied on God's word to resist temptation. When did we fast this week? Thursday. Who knows that your kids still have to eat? I pulled out some leftovers. We had chicken, protein, pasta. Who knows that leftover pasta soaks up all of the sauce and right? So I made some fresh sauce, heavy whipping cream, cream cheese, garlic powder, some butter for Rich. I like to cook. I made some delicious sauce. How do I know it's delicious? I don't, but the boys ate it. So do you know how tempted I was to just scoop up some pasta and chicken and try it? It smelled amazing. And I found myself saying, hey, you can just quietly agree with me if I'm just going to put myself out there because maybe you've had a... I told myself, nobody's going to know if I do this. I'm the only one. I'm in the kitchen by myself right now. Nobody's going to know. But I knew that that was a replacement for seeking after the Lord. Do you know that that came up the entire time the boys were eating supper? When Caden decided that I put too much on his plate and he didn't want to eat it all, it's like, well, I don't want it to go to waste. I'll eat it. To even when I was putting it in the Tupperware container to put it in the fridge, I was like, come on, just one bite. It's not going to hurt a thing. All of those would have been replacements for after what I was for, and that was for more of God in my life. Temptation comes. It's going to happen. You should know that before you even get started. It's going to come. But don't give in to it. Don't give in. Stay strong and complete your fast. Church, we should understand that fasting is a declaration that we rely on God alone. We rely on Him. It humbles us. It reminds us that our strength comes not from ourselves, but rather it comes from the Word of God, and that the power of His Holy Spirit sustains us. As we faith, our faith is refined. Think about gold going through a refinery. Our faith becomes refined, and we become spiritually resilient, able to withstand trials with confidence in God's provision. What if fasting changed your life to the point that it broke down spiritual strongholds, so when that temptation comes next week, guess what? I have the spiritual resilience to say, Lord, it's yours, you've already taken care of it, and that doesn't happen again. That's called victory. Spiritual resilience. This week, would we each identify an area where we need to trust God more deeply through fasting? Could we identify? Maybe you need some relief from something. Maybe you've got something you're facing and you're trying to discern direction from the Lord or what you're supposed to do. Fast and pray and ask God for provision and wisdom in your situation. And then here's the best part. Experience peace, knowing that He is working and He has got a plan to bring it to fruition in your life because it is by His power, not your own. So I would say just those four things, those are some pretty profound benefits to why we fast as Christians today. My question to the church this morning is this. Will you start to pray for breakthroughs in your own lives and in your church body? Could we join collectively as a church and say we are going to pray for breakthroughs, not just in my own life, but we want breakthroughs in the church body? Do you have a brother or sister in Christ that needs a breakthrough? Your desire should to see them have that breakthrough. Put that to prayer this week. Will you fast intentionally for your life, for your family's lives, for your church lives, for the school, for the community? Will we fast for where God has placed us? If we know anything just from what we've heard today, it is through prayer and fasting that God breaks chains, He strengthens our faith, He opens doors for the Holy Spirit to move, and it's important that each and every one of us seek Him for only to do what only He can do in each one of our lives. Listen, if we are not fasting, we may be missing a breakthrough that the Lord has for us. We may be missing that spiritual resilience that He wants us to have because we're not putting it to a fast. The benefit that I am most excited to see, the benefit that I pray for, is revival and renewal. I cannot wait for a fresh outpouring of His Spirit to overtake this church, to overtake this community, to overtake the loss that each one of us come in, encounter, and we deal with in our day-to-day, in our spheres of influence. I can't wait for God to start calling people to Him, to bringing people in through our doors, not because of anything we're doing. Take all of this away and let our hearts still be focused on His purpose for our life. We don't need a building. It's convenient. We don't need it. Where is our posture? Where is our heart in all of this? I want God to use our body and our building to bring revival about. I'm just crazy enough to believe that He'll do it. Will you join me on this fast? Will you join me? If you've not started fasting this week, or you haven't the first 2 weeks, can I just encourage you? It's worth it. I don't care if you've been a believer for 100 years. It's worth it. It's worth it. This week, as you fast, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. First and foremost, I want my heart to be right with the Lord. Ask God to fill you with His presence. Ask God to equip you and to help you boldly in your faith take the steps that He's asking you to take. Whether you fast for personal breakthroughs, perfectly fine. Maybe you're fasting for family restoration. Who knows that the Lord can heal the most broken relationships? Or maybe you're fasting for community revival. Trust this week that He will move powerfully in response to your obedience and your hunger for Him. And then there's a collective that goes with that. As all of us do it, He will powerfully respond to us. If you haven't been encouraged to start fasting yet, I pray and hope that today's benefits entice you. That they encourage you. That it's right now maybe the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart saying, hey, it's time to start fasting. It's time for this. It's time to give this to me. It's time to give us room to work on this. It's important that you listen. if that's the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, it's important that you listen. Because here's what I know. If He's calling you to do it, guess what? There's a breakthrough coming. Does that excite anybody? There's a breakthrough waiting for you. But first, we must experience our own breakthrough. We have to have our own strongholds destroyed, laid to waste. We have to have our hearts yearning for more of Jesus before revival comes. Before renewal comes. Before we gain more strength and more faith in God, we must experience our own growth. Engaging our community, Joel, if you want to come on up, I should have called you up, I'm sorry. Engaging our community for Jesus, listen, it will have an entirely different meaning when revival does come. God is waiting for each one of us to take our first step. And so my question to you today is, will you take that step? Will you join us for the next 3 weeks as we continue our fast? Would you stand to your feet this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want people being embarrassed or judgy or anything else. And this is between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. It just has to do everything with you, just having your heart open and just responding to Him this morning. Fasting opens the door for breakthrough. But the most life-changing thing, the most life-changing breakthrough that you will ever experience is salvation with Jesus. See, when Jesus breaks the chains of sin and He brings us into new life because of His sacrifice on the cross, this is the greatest breakthrough that we can experience. So if you're here today and you don't know Him, you've never been in a relationship with Him, or maybe you have been and you've stepped away and this and that, I want you to know today, He came to break every chain and He came to set you free and to offer you forgiveness. Romans 10:9 plus verse 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So if that's you this morning, again, every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you this morning, whether this is for the first time or this is in a fresh way, a brand new way, you're saying, Lord, I just give you my life today. Would you just raise your hand this morning just so I can make note of who's raising their hand? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Who else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Church, let's say this prayer together. For those of you who raised your hand this morning, it has nothing to do with this prayer. It has everything to do with the posture of your heart. This morning, this prayer is just a way for us to put to words what we're feeling. We just read in Romans that if you can believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That's it. But we're going to say a prayer together to walk us through that. So would everybody in here join me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I know that I am a sinner and I need forgiven. So this morning, would you please forgive me? I believe that you died and rose again. And at this moment, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I accept you today as ruler of my life. You are both Savior and Lord. I dedicate myself to you from now on. Use me, move in my life, and bring a testimony that will change others' lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Church, we had four individuals raise their hands, whether for the first time or a repeat, but four people this morning. Praise the Lord. this is a huge first step. And listen, if you need to talk to somebody, I'm here as you leave today. I just want to encourage you. Listen, Satan's going to do everything he can to try to pull you back, because nothing's really changed. We just had this experience in our life and our heart that's we're not sure what's next. Don't go back to the old way. Don't do it. It's going to bring failure in your life. So just like when we fast, we focus on more of God. Guess what? You need to focus more on the Lord starting today, starting right now. It is more of Him. Him in every moment. When we are tempted, we give it to Him. When we want to curse, we give it to Him. When we want to do this, we give it to Him. Lord Jesus, I just want more of You in my life every single day. And guess what? That's for everybody in here. That's not just for those who raise their hand. Every one of us can say, more of You, Lord Jesus. So church, we've heard today how fasting breaks strongholds. We've seen how God draws us closer to Him through fasting. And it opens the door for revival. I want to ask you this morning, what breakthrough do you need? What breakthrough do you need to experience in your life right now? What is keeping you away from more of Jesus in your life? Do you have a burden that you've been carrying for far too long, that you were never meant to carry? Do you have a prayer that you've been praying that you're waiting to see answered? Or maybe you have a stronghold that needs broken, that needs tore down in your life this morning. Listen, before you leave, if I could close those doors, chain them shut, and say we can't leave until everybody seeks after the Lord, I would do it. But you have free will. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. I can't make you taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to desire that in your own life. You have to want to pursue Him in your own right. I can't make you do that. I can only encourage you. And so that's what I'm doing today. The altar is open for you to come and surrender to God. The altar is open for you to come and receive your breakthrough. The altar is open for you to come and say, Lord, I'm giving this prayer to You. I know that You can do it. This morning, would You step out in faith? Bring your need to Him and let the Holy Spirit move in your life. Whether it's personal freedom, family restoration, revival in the church, God is here and He is ready to meet with you. Would you just come to the altar right now? Come, don't wait, don't hesitate. Come to the altar. As you come forward this morning, lay it all at His feet. Give Him your struggles, give Him your hopes, give Him your prayers, and let Him take over. Let Him be Lord of your life. And here's the most powerful thing I know. When we do this, when we submit to Him, He is faithful to meet us right where we're at. So as the worship team leads us, do not be afraid. Do not hesitate to approach the altar this morning.